Hi, welcome to the Man Myth Podcast.
Chef's kiss, perfect. What's going marvelous, on, marvelous, darling. We got special guests coming out to Wazoo now.
This is Michael. He's a friend of mine, friend of the channel. He's part of the old Man Myth crew. He came down to the house to help me do some heavy lifting and some chores for a few days. We're going to kick back and do some, just kind of chill and have some fun and try to get this emotional roller coaster that men are trying to get on a little bit more accessible, let's say. So, Michael, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I grew up in Southern Illinois, blue-collar family. I'm in school. I start school next week to become a counselor.
There you go.
Studies.
Michael, I've met through a community that we do a lot of work on energy and how to focus our energy into more creative and not so, let's say, flying by the seat of the pants. We do journeys together, walk through meditations and energy work, and try to get ourselves just to be better us. which kind of goes with what we're doing in this last two series. This will be the final one. We're going to kind of review some of the things about getting to know yourself. And I think Michael went to
He went to what?
They just call it essential. Amazing. Undescribable what, like, they talk about programs. Little gremlins in your head, you know, operate daily. Stuff that might piss you off on a daily. All those negative little things trying to scramble up your brain.
Pretty wiped out from that. A good word for that, for sure.
I try to tell them to go back to the field and sow some seeds or something. Harvest that are, you know, fruit. I haven't listened yet.
A lot of times
they're like these kind of like 2 year olds, aren't they? They're only listening when you don't want them to listen.
Programs are where they put people together in groups and save space to actually walk through some of the past traumas or current traumas even. A lot of times we talk about how we program in the past, but it's currently being, I think most everybody is doing still some type of programming, serving them in the correct manner. What's been going on with you, Bobby?
Nothing. Same stuff.
I'm fine.
Still adjusting to the new workload, but it's been a blast. And dealing with a 2-month-old baby, which is always interesting. But she's getting better with sleeping through the night and stuff, so that's the biggest thing. And Kai swallowed another bee yesterday, so she was all puffed up and swollen. She'll learn one time, but I don't know when it's going to be.
That honey.
I think it was I don't know what it was, but her whole face swelled up. But yeah, nothing crazy. trying to figure out this thing called life, right?
So I wanted to kind of go over what we've discussed over the last two. Really, that the premise of the whole thing is getting to know yourself. We did that through some questions. Is
right.
What is true about you? You and I talked about our own. A couple people bonded about what they felt was true. And how one of the other things was, I think, was really hear the one thing that's good about us and then the one thing that's bad about us. We focus a lot more on the bad instead of the good thing. And I think it's part of that. I think Mike and I were talking about that. We're trying to fix whatever's wrong.
Right.
I don't think we pay as much attention to what's right.
Well, and that's one of the things we said, I think. Like with the compliments, remember, like you never compare. If somebody gives you a compliment, you always compare yourself. Well, this person's better. But when you're talking to yourself in your head about the negatives, you don't ever think, well, this person's worse or this person's worse.
Yeah, or just things could be worse.
Right.
Kind of giving that. Saved a couple questions, which we'll talk about tonight a little bit, because they're a little on the darker side. We want to light things up. Talk about a few more questions. We talked about what is your interest, and I've used this over the last few weeks when I've done some consulting, and I said, what brings you joy? What are your interests? And a lot of people just kind of stop. They don't say anything at that point. They're just kind of like rolling around in their head. That should be something that's automatic.
Right.
Like, what brings you joy? Like when you were talking about it, and you know, there was no doubt that is
right.
Something that brings you joy. So
it's interesting. I've also had a lot of practice at not finding it. So.
Right. And then we talked about colors and what's your favorite sound. That's got a lot of good responses. The guy said, just the like water, soft water flowing. And I was like, yeah, that, you know, there's all kinds of things, but there's something that just put a smile on your face. Those sounds, whether it's talked about cars, certain kinds of music and how things can make you be the simplest thing. Like we talked about color.
Right.
We'll get I'll get a list of these together on the social media.
Sweet.
I think one of the coolest things, and we talked about just sitting in silence. And I did that this week several times. It's that the tree frogs are out.
Yeah.
70 something here. Even though it's noisy, it's still. But that nature always. Sounds of nature make me. How about you, Mike? What are some sounds that tickle your fancy?
So Mike, wind chimes.
Mike traveled. He took puppies to owners. That was one of his jobs. He's had numerous jobs. That's where he got a lot of dog sounds.
Yeah. Like it happened during COVID. So my COVID experience is so much different than everybody.
Yeah.
I got to travel the country unheeded by traffic.
It's funny you say that.
Like LA was empty.
That's one of the things when like everybody started going back to work, because I was working in construction. I didn't ever get time off really. Everybody started coming back to work and I was like, oh, I forgot how much traffic sucks. I mean, it's not LA, but Philly still has pretty bad traffic. And I was like, can everyone go back home, please? Just work from home.
Then you said wind chimes too.
Yeah, there's always when I hear a wind chime,
honking is Mike's word for expressing anything that needs that type of expression.
I'm going to tell you real quick, I can't hear him half the time when he talks.
Sorry.
No, you're fine. I'm trying to hear and I can hear like whispering. I can't, it's not, the mic's not picking it up.
Okay, I'm a ghost. Sometimes. That's what they almost called me when driving around puppies, because I would just kind of show up.
Just like pop up. Like,
here's your
puppy.
Here's your puppy.
One of my least favorite sounds is a baby crying.
My least favorite sound is a dog barking with a raspy bark. I can still hear it.
We don't even have
poor thing
bark. Our two dogs barely bark. Kai like talks at us.
Yeah,
she doesn't. She goes, and she won't. She doesn't really bark though. Till she gets hit with that electric collar, then she barks.
Yeah, all of our dogs have different barks. That was funny because he was trying to figure them out today when they were something which we found out was a skunk. So.
Ananda probably didn't do it.
No, Ananda's
she's
not
just barking at it.
She's not doing too much anymore. So, and that's part of the what we're working with here is trying to find these a little bit of honk and also bringing you back into your what I like to call essence. The essence of somebody is that. That first, if you Salula and the smiles on her face, it's unencumbered by anything,
right?
Stress, right? But that's how we. That's the essence. Let people take it away, or we give it away through traumas and. All that stuff, the trauma drama thing, start to become less connected to that. So these things, the questions that we ask, kind of the ideas that we had for those things to bring you back to that. And I thought the question, and we talked about it last week, being okay with that. Because could be okay with whatever emotion, as long as we're not diving into it.
Right.
I think it was you that talked about, like, or it was somebody I was talking to this week, walking along, and then all of a sudden it's just dry mud, and they're trying to walk through it. And that's when we get into some emotions, that throws us right into that bog. And then we talked about a lot of it was the decluttering and trying to not just your space, right, but your emotions and your mind and all the things that hold us in that drama and Sometimes there's just too much that it's overwhelming. Even if we're not thinking about it, seeing it or listening to it or feeling it, if we don't declutter some of that, then I think it's going to just, again, like it keeps us in that anxiety. And we talked about a few ways to get out of that, which we'll talk. What things overwhelm you, Bobby?
It used to be a lot more. Things used to be just every time something went wrong, it was like the end of the world or something. Didn't, even if it wasn't necessarily wrong, but it didn't go the way I wanted it to. That was the straw that broke the camel's back, and it was the first straw. It didn't matter what state of mind I was in. But after the last few years, I've even been told this by people I've worked with, is that you don't let stuff bother you. There's no point in letting it bother me. I was like, and it's the same thing. It's the same thing with like trying to get people to like you, trying to control every aspect, which is what I used to try to do. I used to try to control every aspect of my job and my life. And sometimes most of the time, that's not how it's going to work. It's going to be, you're going to have, you know, to have left turns and right turns. It's not going to be just straight how you wanted it to be. So it's been a lot more of, moving was overwhelming for me, but that's just because there's so much to do, so much to, you're trying to get everything done and moved and try not to forget anything, try not to break a bunch of stuff. But I don't let a lot overwhelm me in my, that I can, anything that I can control. I still have problems with big crowds. That's never going to change, I don't think. It's just because of who I am. But I also don't usually have like full on panic attacks or anxiety attacks in big crowds. I can go to amusement parks and concerts and stuff like that, and I'm okay. I still don't really like being there, but at least I'm not like stuck in the bog. I don't get just where I freeze up or I start freaking out. So, but yeah, I don't think I have too awful much that I really overwhelms me anymore, other than, I mean, and if it does overwhelm me, it's not as much. So that's a little give and take there. But I'd rather, you know, it's always a work in progress, like we always say. It's never.
I think the key to that was actually that in essence, you have more straws now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. You went from one straw to a bunch of straws. So I think that's a perfect analogy for it. So getting into those places where you're uncomfortable, I think it's important to do in small doses and then work through, like we had talked about, the breathing and actually moving, right? And making sure that you're connected and grounded instead of trying to figure out where you are in that space. Feeling the ground, making sure that you feel like you're solid. And then making sure that, you know, before you go, that your nutrition's good. You don't want something that's high sugary or things that make you feel uncomfortable. Try to get all of the little things together to make it optimal. And then you have these little tools like in your toolbox that we've been talking about. Make it even more comfortable for you.
Right. And that's one thing I've noticed. Like, so we've gone to Hershey Park quite a few times in the last couple of years. Well, like two or three times. But I don't get as anxious when I'm there because, well, first of all, we usually go with a bunch of friends. So I have a support group. I have a group of people I know. And there's no time. Like, you're not just usually just sitting around waiting. Like, even if the kids are waiting for a ride, I'll go to another ride. Like, there's always something to be doing. So I don't really have time to get into my head that as much as I used, and I don't as much as I used to. But it's worth it to see the smiles on the kids' faces. Excuse me.
But you're enjoying. You're enjoying it even though you're trying to make it work for you.
Right. And I have fun. A lot of that is going, a lot of it is going with people that I know understand me, and know, that when I say, cause I've gotten a lot better about vocalizing when I'm done and when I'm worn out and when I'm just, I need to go, because it might not even be anxiety, but sometimes being around people so long, so many people for so long is just draining on me. So I need to recharge. So I need to either like go be like, go find a spot that there's not a lot of people, or I need to just like relax for a minute. But it's such an important thing. I don't think people realize it, is to have a support group that we can all, we've all had support groups that weren't really support groups, if that makes any sense. Like when we were kids, we all had friends that weren't really our friends, that didn't care. And some of us as adults still do, but it's so important to have a group of friends that actually understands, cares, and strives to help you in whatever you go, whatever demons or gremlins you deal with, because without that group of friends, if it was just me and the family, then yeah, I have Ash, but it's a lot easier when you have five adults that you can lean on instead of one. So it's just so important to, I mean, the more legs, the sturdier the chair, right? So you just got to make sure that the group that you surround yourself with is a quality group of people, instead of worrying about, like I used to, quantity and worrying about how many friends I have. I worry a lot more about now, do these people share and care about the values and the people that they're around?
Right. And that's, again, one of the things we talked about in the toolbox. We'll talk about this in the next week or two, is how to set up a group, a little bit about your community, because it's important to have community. Like when Mike came down to help me do some stuff around the house, It isn't just about doing that. I mean, we're doing that, but we're also working on things and working just little issues that come up and supporting each other. That's what a good community does. It's not like, you know, when you're young, you just want to be part of the cool crowd. Well, the cool crowd was maybe not the best crowd to be supported in.
Right? I would go so far as to say it was never the good crowd to be in.
But our definition of cool changes, right, as we get older, right, too. So that's part of it. So if we do those, you know, we go through the breath, we do the movement, making sure that you're staying mobile, you're getting some movement, you're breathing correctly, right, doing the belly breathing in, right, through the nose and out through the mouth kind of thing, nutrition, the connection. And hydration is another big thing, because if you're not hydrated, what happens is just the basic of this is your oxygen to your brain doesn't flow as well. So then it becomes distress. There's a distress little signal that it sends, and then all of a sudden you can go into overwhelm very quickly. So making sure that you have your basic necessities, and that you're taking care of yourself.
Bare necessities, right? Simple bare necessities. Yeah. I'm not a good singer.
So I think those are
singing a lot on this podcast.
That's pretty good. But and then I remember, because we had talked about this two weeks ago, and you were like, I was reading some of the questions that I had, and you were like, Dad, that's kind of dark. And I was like, well, it is and it isn't, because it is part of knowing. And if you know what the end is that you would like to have, it's the path that is easier to be on. So if one of the first question we'll ask, and then we'll get to the other one, is this is something that's interesting. I would love for people to write themselves a letter as yourself in the future. So you write a letter to your future self, if that makes sense. So it's like, what do you want to convey to them? Or you could do it the other way. You could actually have your future self write a letter to you, depending on how you feel the flow is. But it could be awesome to do that, because you could just write through the things that you want, you know, you want to happen in your life, and
right.
You know, however it looks. I know when we'd do vision boards, and the vision board was for a house was lot, you know, land and trees and a lake and a pool and a barn and everything that we have now. But the funny thing was, when we actually got the pool, I didn't care for it, because it was more of a maintenance thing.
Right.
So in my letter to my future self, I'd be like, don't worry about the pool, dude. just get what you want. The pool is going to be more of a bird than it is for me. I mean, for other people, you know, they love them, and that, I mean, they use them all the time. But when you're taking care of whatever 50 acres and right. a few other things, and you're just like, by the time you get time to be in the pool, I just want to go to bed, or
yeah.
I don't want to have to skim the pool to get in it kind of thing. So, but that, I think that would be an interesting, and we should, you know, I'll ask people to share with what some of their high points were for those letters.
Right.
It would be really interesting to, and I'm going to do this. I'm going to sit down and write to my future self. And there's, you know, it could be gratitude. It could be we overcame the anxiety of being in groups. It could be all kinds of things. But as we're writing that, either way, is feeling the emotions that we're actually freeing up.
Back with emotion. We did it. Like it feels like I can feel them. We did it. Help all these people. And it's like, it's just a big old party of healing. Everybody getting along.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, if I wrote a letter to my past self, oh my goodness. I think it'd be like 12 pages of all the cool shit that we went through that we never thought we'd get to. I mean, there was times I didn't think I was going to make it to even 18. So there was a lot of bad times where I just thought we were going to be a memory. And now we're making them with four little kids and a wife and a bunch of friends and all the people that watch the podcast and listen to the podcast. It's,
and he has a pool.
Great thing to think of. Oh gosh, don't get me started on the pool.
Just get one of those robots.
That's an awesome idea. I love that idea, Bobby, about writing the letter to your past self too. So you could do three letters: the one to your future self, and back to you now, and you to your past self, which would be super, super healing. Walk through some of those times where you didn't feel love and gave it to yourself.
Right. I mean, this whole process.
I felt it. Like that whole, like when I was just getting my license, I was afraid to drive 7 miles. Like, I didn't want to drive 7 miles. I mean, it didn't help the fact that I got an accident 32 days into driving, but everything was just too far away from me. And when I graduate, I left for Iowa, which is, you know, 5 hours away. drive in traffic and be angry at drivers. Road. Everybody sucks here in Iowa.
And now he's driving to California.
Yeah, right? I think I drove like, I think it was like 52,000 miles in 5 months. So pretty wild.
Yeah, that's
crazy. That's overcoming something.
Yeah, right. That's going, look at all these experience, past self.
Imagine that, right? Writing a letter to that guy that couldn't drive 7 miles. We just did 52,000 miles in 5 months. Like,
we got to see both oceans in the same week.
Oh my God.
I three times.
That. That's crazy.
Just it was wild. It was wild. And no construction. That was the beauty part of it.
Oh.
Because they couldn't do it.
Right.
All right, for the last question, the dark one now.
All right.
Do you remember what it
was? Now everybody's going to cry. Hold on. Let me go get my tissues.
So,
I'm kidding. I'm not going to go get tissues.
What if you wrote your eulogy today, what would you want it to say?
Sorry, I'm writing it down. You want me to answer, or you want Michael to answer, or are you going to answer, or what?
You can answer, and then Michael answer. I'm too close. I mean, it's too painful for me.
Too close. Oh, my goodness. You and I have actually talked about, like, funerals, how we don't want... I the last thing I want is a bunch of people sulking around, and I don't care how I go. I don't care if it's tomorrow. I don't want a bunch of people sulking around, sad, upset. Like, people are going to be upset, but I want it to be like, I want people to think of me how they think of Papa. I want it to be just people remembering all the time, the good times we had, the bad times we had, but a eulogy, I would just want people to talk about how much I loved my kids and how much I wanted to just be the best dad I could for them. I want to talk people to talk someone to talk about how I was not perfect, but I did my best and I always tried my hardest. And just that I was a good friend and somebody you could always count on, because that's what I strive to be. But be a short and sweet eulogy, and then there's probably going to be a lot of drinking involved afterwards.
How about you, Michael?
Oh, man. Can't just choose bonking. Everybody leaves. No.
That'll be the last part of it.
That'll be the entrance. I want my experiences like never thought I'd have, from being a ballroom dancer to traveling those puppies. Wasn't afraid to just ride with the wind. Really. Right. Birdies. Got a song in my head. And I want everybody to be, I want to be the life of the party. It definitely needs to be a party. It needs to be a big old right. Dance hall.
Yeah.
Where I want the dancing shoes on.
Have you, not related to the topic, but I saw a post on, I think it was Instagram. It said, when I die, I want my best friend to sneak my phone away and after the funeral, tell everybody thanks for coming, and then turn the phone off. I was like, yep, that's what I'm going to do. But I mean, it's...
I think... Go ahead.
It's as much as I want it to be a celebration, it's never something I want to think about. And I think that's more important. If that makes sense, I don't want to think about when I'm going to die or how I'm going to die or if I'm going to die soon. I just want to live it I want to be living, and when it happens, it happens. And I gave my all. I was unapologetically myself, and let's go.
Yeah, I think, like I've always said, I just want to be cremated, my second grade picture put up, and then nobody wears black, just a party. I'll have somebody do a playlist. Because it's just not, again, in one of our friends that passed a few months ago, they're calling it a celebration of life. And I think that's a good way to put it. But I think we look at more about what the haves than the have nots, or the dids right. versus the dids. I think at the end, I just want to have it that I never stop growing. I never stop trying to be better or be more kind. Those things, I think, for me, are important. And the way I see life and the things I want to, even now, I find the joy in the smallest things. And, you know, like we talked about the sounds and the colors, and we talked about gray and the pink and Bray wearing pink. I think that we should be ourselves as much as possible. And like you said, don't apologize for it. Don't be afraid of it.
Right.
Because it's not, it is you. It's what makes us all different. If everybody was the same, you know, before, but right. Do it like Bobby says, unapologetically. And not to be mean, not to do anything else, just out of spite, just to be you. It brings up one of my funny memories of you is we did for Christmas, a lot of times we'd give them money to do a spa day, and he sends me pictures of the spa day, which I love. And he shows me his fingernails. They're painted blue. And I was like, why did you paint your fingernails blue? This is the perfect Bobby line too. Because they didn't have an orange I liked. Do you remember that?
I do. I do remember.
That's that. Awesome.
I've seen the growth of you and the blooming of you and the craziness that something that I so admire went from. You went from being manipulated to ostracized to being so cool with yourself that it makes, I think it just makes people around you want to be more, gives them permission to do.
Well, and that's what I want, because like you said, dealing with what I've dealt with, I never want anyone to feel uncomfortable around me, even if they're different than me or don't see eye to eye with me. I still want you to be comfortable around me. I don't care. Unless you are actually doing something that's going to harm someone else, I think you should be able to think and act and do whatever you want. But none of us has the right to step that line where, unless we're protecting someone or ourselves, to be hurting somebody. And it's just, I like that. It's awesome to know that you see it, because I don't, just because I've strived for that and that's what I want doesn't mean it's really what happened. But it's been a long road, and I say this all the time, but I've known you my whole life, and it's been you're a completely different person than the guy I remember 25 years ago. But I mean, I think we both are really, neither one of us are the same.
And, you know, that's like when I talked about the eulogy thing, I want people to just like, he never stopped continually worked on being authentic or
right.
Real or whatever it is. Whatever the word that they use is. And sometimes when we have groups here at the end, we give one word that says how we felt about the session or the weekend.
Right.
Those words have so much beauty. And it's not just the word, it's the whole energy. I think that if you can get to that point where when you're having your celebration and people just that love in their heart for you,
right?
Words don't need to be there.
Well, words mean nothing without feeling behind them, and you can tell when there's feeling and there's not. Like you said, at the end of your session, if somebody said a word and didn't have any feeling behind it, you would be able to tell that it was a half-assed thing or that they weren't into it. But
or it was something that they thought people wanted to
hear. Right.
Part of why we're doing this.
The best part about being me is I don't care what people want to hear. They're going to hear what I have to say, and that's it.
All right. Anything else, Michael?
I was about to say such a thing to come from a Philadelphian. I don't care what people have to say about me. We'll say what I want.
I like one likes us. We don't care.
I remember going through Philly. I only got to see the Lincoln. I went driving by it. That's all I got.
Oh yeah.
I want to get the hell out of Philadelphia.
Yeah, you don't want to be in Philly too awful long.
I mean, it was cool to see like the where my favorite movie Rocky was shot. That was pretty cool. Holy crap.
Rocky's your favorite movie?
Stallone was. Yeah.
Oh, I'll send you some pictures tomorrow.
Oh man.
I pass the art museum every day.
Oh, sweet, man.
And the Rocky statue.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, I'll have to stop there tomorrow and get you some pictures.
I appreciate that, man.
It's an awesome place. I do like the historical part of Philadelphia is amazing. And it's so much fun to like just walk around and hear all the stories. And then you have like the art museum with Rocky and the Rocky statues right there. It's just really cool that like parts of it are really cool. And then other parts of Philly, I'm like, well, don't need to be here too long.
In this.
Great. I appreciate that.
No problem.
The call to action, Bobby?
You know what? I'm going to be honest. You go first. I'll think of one.
So the thing that I have for the call to action is for somebody, given the last three podcasts that we've done, is give yourself three strategies for coming out of a funk. And we've talked about a bunch of tools. Share those with us on Instagram or on Facebook, wherever you want. I think that's, let people use their own words about how to come out of the funk and share it with other people, because everybody is going to come up with ideas that other people aren't going to think about.
Right. We'll make a post. And we can have people give them in. I don't have one. I can't think right now.
Can't think?
No.
You have one?
Look for areas that you can be kind to people.
Did you hear him?
Michael just coming in with a home run, huh? Just got to outdo me like that? Just the first time on here? See if you get those pictures now.
I guess so.
See if you get those pictures now.
No, you told it through me to the camera, so it's all good. You told me to say that. You held a bull sign.
The telepathy. All right. So just remember, you are not broken and you are not alone.
Love you.
If you can see you, if you can see you.